So the historic development of admiralty jurisdiction, there were, like I said, separate courts for each of these three subject matter jurisdiction areas. The High Court of Admiralty was established in England around 700 years ago. Of course, there are special considerations in admiralty that were largely the same then as they are now, and so that's the reason for the separate courts, even though, of course, in admiralty jurisdiction, there are issues at law, there are issues at equity. That was the same back then, but they created this special admiralty court to handle the distinct issues. Okay, so now I want to talk about the silver oar of admiralty. So the silver oar of admiralty originated from this idea that it was a type of ceremonial mace, and it was used as an icon of governmental power, and it was placed on or near the bench of the Admiralty Court when hearing cases. It was used historically to warn against pirating. So one of the things that I read about this history about the silver oar was that they would actually take the silver oar, which was big. I have a picture of one in a second, but it's like the size of a baseball bat in these English courts. And they would parade the accused pirate down to the courthouse and then try the pirate. And then when the pirate was convicted, they would again parade the pirate around to the gallows to execute the pirate. And so it really was like that scene in Game of Thrones where they're parading Cersei through the streets and saying, shame, shame, shame. That's what this was. But it was a silver oar of admiralty at front. But in between the parades with the pirates, they would put it on the bench to show this is the governmental power. We're sitting in court. Court is in session. So here's a picture of this is on, I believe, one of those, the Court of Admiralty courthouse in England, and this is a carving on, I guess, the facade of the courthouse that shows a man carrying that silver oar like a baseball bat. So it really is pretty interesting. Okay, so fast forward to the colonial era. So in the American colonies, the English government thought, well, hey, Let's bring this whole system to the colonies. It makes sense. We're going to bring the admiralty courts with us. So they established vice admiralty courts in the year 1660 in the colonies. There are today several surviving silver oars of admiralty. There's one in Massachusetts that was created in 1694. And you can see it at the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston. I really like the history of our American silver oars because in these courts, they got more kind of mashed together, right? There's less judges, there's less people who are educated enough to hear the cases and so on and so forth. And so the judges would use the oar to signify, okay, I'm not at law, I'm not at equity, I'm sitting in admiralty. So here is a picture of the Massachusetts one. I'm sorry to say that this is smaller than a baseball bat. I saw the picture at first, and I was like, man, that's really interesting. But here's a close-in on the one side. But you can see the size comparison here. It's smaller than a baseball bat, but still, you know. But there's the English royal crest there on that side of it. And then there's another one that is in New York that was created in 1678, and it is still used by the United States District Court for the Southern District of New York. So when they're sitting in admiralty, they take out the silver oar and they put it on the bench so everybody knows, okay, we're in admiralty jurisdiction. And here's a picture of that one in New York. So you can see, because this has been in continuous use since the 1600s, it's has a little more wear and tear than the one in Massachusetts that's been sitting in a museum. And here's the other side of the paddle. And you can see here it says Court of Vice Admiralty, New York. And then New Hampshire originally had one, but they lost it. And so they have made this replica. Okay, So now I'm going to go and fast forward to modern times. I'm going to talk about admiralty jurisdiction. So today's presentation focuses on tort jurisdiction. Contract jurisdiction, of course, is entirely different than admiralty tort jurisdiction. The test is completely different. And I'm not going to talk about that. I'm going to touch very briefly on a contract case as it relates to a tort case in a minute. But this is just admiralty tort jurisdiction. So everyone here is familiar with the locus and the nexus elements to be under admiralty tort jurisdiction. Locus, you've got to be in navigable waters. What does navigable waters mean? It has to be navigable in fact. Ignore that interstate nexus part under there. That's an editing error. And then the nexus test is two prongs. Under the nexus portion, it has to be activity that gives rise to hazards that potentially disrupt maritime commerce. And the second question is whether the general character of the activity giving rise to the incident shows a substantial relationship to a traditional maritime activity. So I want to talk about navigable waters because that's usually the place where the courts really start their analysis. And what's interesting in these admiralty jurisdiction cases is that they're almost all recreational vessels or small passenger vessels, because if you're a cruise ship or you're an oil tanker and you're in the port of Miami or you're in the port of New Orleans,